One of my soapboxes that I've been on for many years is authority. Where is the power of the church? The New Testament church, when they heard they were coming, people quaked. They shook because those New Testament Christians were headed their way. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 17 sometime. And so it's been kind of a pet peeve, and I've developed this sermon out of that and some more I'm working on about authority. So this morning I want to talk about the authority of the believer. And I don't think you can make a greater discovery today than the fact that you have an opportunity to have spiritual authority in your life. The God-given authority, he has it for all believers. All we have to do is seek after it with all of our hearts and our lives. Satan doesn't want you to know about that. Satan doesn't want you to know that you can have authority. And so he's trying to stop that. Satan knows that if you get the authority of God, the battle will be hard for him. He can't overcome God. He doesn't have the power or the authority to overcome you when you have Jesus' authority in your life. So that's what I want to talk about today, the God-given authority that you have and God's power. Now, my definition of authority would be something of legal standing. That's why coaches have that authority. Teachers in their rooms have that authority. The boss of the company has it because of legal standing. And we can have it also because of God's legal standing, because of God, who God is, and the power that he has. He has a plan for you. He wants you to live with authority. This goes back to Genesis chapter 1. This is nothing new I'm telling you. What I'm doing is reminding you that you should be living with authority. You go back to Genesis 1:26, he said, God gave us dominion. That's a powerful word. Gave us rule, gave us authority over everything. That's why God is really disappointed by our addictions, the things that enslave us and chain us to our addictions, because we're to have dominion over all things. We're to have authority. I'm not talking about an ego trip. We're only fulfilling our destiny. Did you hear that? When you live under God's authority, it's your destiny. He intended for you to have authority, for you to live a life of power. You're just doing what God wants you to do. God's plan for you, for me, for each one of us, is live with authority, live with power, have dominion. Adam and Eve started off with it. They were king and queen of this whole world. And yet, because sin came into their lives, they lost their crown, no longer king and queen, just Adam and Eve. When they did, mankind lost everything that it had dominion over. We have to come to God, we have to come to Jesus, and find the authority that he has for each one of us. He wants to work within us. Don't forfeit the authority that God has for you here on earth. He has it for you right now, and it's only through Jesus. You hear that? You have authority for this life only through Jesus. You can go on ego trips, you can go on power trips, but I'm talking about a different kind of authority for this life, for this day. Now, you talk to modern man about power and authority. Most people think they already have it. I'm going to tell you, most people don't. I'm not going to use that word most. Many people do not have the authority that God has intended for them to have. Man boasts of all his inventions and accomplishments. But really, all man has added is speed and sound and garbage. That's all we've done in this life and in this age. That's all we've had. Are we any better off than any generation before us? Doesn't seem like it. Sometimes as we read the paper, I heard something on the paper in the radio this morning about the Hall of Fame inductions, and one of the players talking about the lives that matter. He said, black lives matter. Then he said, all lives matter, which he was right. And what's happening in our society, you read the newspaper, it's pretty savage out there. Many are living like savages instead of living like the children of God, as a child of God. We worship at the shrine of our computer, and many times that becomes our God. We spend our time there. And we think it's a utopia, but really it's kind of a vanishing dream. And our lives are become kind of filtered through that computer, through those lines. Not only, do we fail to live with authority, but many of God's children, many quote-unquote church people, are living beneath their privileges. I want to help you understand this morning the authority that is available to you, what God has for you. We are a needy generation. We need the truth. Here's how I would describe this generation of people. We're sick of our condition. We're unable to create better conditions. We're too ignorant to explain life, too shallow to endure life, too bitter to enjoy life, and too weak to overcome life. We need some help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Trinity that we sang about. I believe in the Trinity, the Godhead. So I want to share from the Bible. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. It's going to be a good balancing act here. This is a short notice to preach. Short notice. That's why there's not much PowerPoint. I know they're thankful for that I gave to them this morning. You're probably thankful for that. It's a short. Luke 7, listen to this. I love this. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a certain centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. Verse 4. And when they had come to Jesus, they earnestly entreated him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation. And it was he who built us our synagogue. Now Jesus started on his way with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 8. For I too am a man under authority, that's important, under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to them, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the multitude and was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Wow. Found the slave in good health. Three things for you today. That's supposed to be the perfect sermon. Three points, right, Lucas? 3 points and a poem. I don't have a poem. I was preaching in New Mexico last summer, and I said that something like this. I was preaching. My sermon had 3 points. I thought, next night, a lady brought me a poem. So I tried to work it into my sermon. But think about that text. Keep it open to that text if you have a Bible there. Luke chapter 7. The first is the source. The source of spiritual authority. The centurion said, the reason I have authority is because I'm under authority. And that's the crux of the matter, the source. There has to be a higher authority. He said, some I say go, and they go, and some I say come, and some I say stay, and they stay. And he realized that Jesus healed because he was subject to God the Father. The Son is always subject to the Father, even though he's a part of the Trinity, even though he's all-powerful. But he set it up for us. You go to some of the last things he said, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. All authority do I have, talking about himself, Jesus, not only in heaven, but on earth. We need to exercise that. How many times do we sing today, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus? That's where our authority is. It's in the name of Jesus. And we have that because of his authority from the Father, because he's under the Father. The centurion somehow had seen this. I don't know if he'd heard him speak before or what, but he had seen this. And he knew that to have authority, to be over someone, you have to be under authority. I hope, let that sink in. I hope that you get that. In order to be over, you have to be under. In order to be over, you have to be under. And he knew there was a higher power that was at work there. Just say the word. You don't even have to come here. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. He knew that was true of Jesus. In my life, I'm a pastor, minister. I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father. I receive my authority from the Lord. He gives that to me. I look up to him, and as long as I do, that he gives me authority. That's why in Matthew 28, 18, first he starts off by saying, I have all authority, heaven and earth. Now you, because you have me, he's saying, you go and make disciples. That's your ultimate duty, go and make disciples. Reproduce yourself as a Christian. Bring other Christians into the church, into the family of God. Authority. Peter talks about it. I don't really have time to look at it, but you can write it down and look at it. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Basically says, all authority is now mine. Peter's basically the head of the church at that point. Him and Paul are going to have some problems over that, but he really was. Up on this rock, Petra, I will build my church. But he had the authority of the Lord. So as a Christian, pastor, father, husband, I look up to God. I look to Jesus. I get my authority from him. Ephesians chapter 3, you can look at it later also. I hope you desire to do that. Chapter 3, Ephesians 3, 23-26. And I love that book about the church, because it says there is no authority in those three verses. There is no authority greater than the authority that Jesus gives you. There's nothing you're facing that is greater than the authority of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank you. I don't mean to beg, but yeah. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize whose you are? There's no authority greater than the authority that you have because you walk with Jesus. Wow. I love that. That makes me go on a power trip. Get thee behind me, Satan. You can't hurt me. So listen, answer back to me. Our source? Say it loud. Our source? Jesus. Our source? Jesus. Yeah. The centurion said, I've got people above me so that I can do my job. He said, and he's in a roundabout way, he said, Jesus looks to his Father for that authority. And we look to Jesus, who has authority over all things. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Everything is under his control. So we have the source, right? Who's the source? All right, here's the second one. These are coming out of Luke 7, particularly verse 8. And that's the secret. The secret is this. As long as I stay under his authority, I have authority to be over my life and those in my life. The reason some don't have authority is that they cannot be entrusted with it. The reason some people don't have authority in their lives is God can't trust them with it. Rebellion ceases authority. I'm not talking about doubting God or questioning God. He doesn't mind that. But when you rebel at God and shake your fist at God, you lose. When I shake my fist at God, I lose. My authority is dropped. It reminds me in the army. You cannot keep authority or exercise authority unless you stay under authority. It's like, A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson, said, unless men follow orders, people die. You can't handle it. No, you can't. You can handle the truth. Yeah. Authority. Many times that's why we're dying, is because we're not under the authority. Because we don't have authority. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritual death. There's no authority except of God. And God has invested that authority in his Son, who we receive as our personal Savior. I give you authority over the enemy. Over the enemy. The moment you cease to be under that authority, in that moment you lose that authority. The moment you begin to wander in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life, it ceases. The spiritual authority goes away. It's kind of like driving a car. I wish a lot more people knew about their brakes than their horn. There's some people drive with their horns. Beep, 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 beep. You have brakes. You have brakes. Use them. Use them. And the reason I say that is because God can't trust some people in their spiritual journey because they don't know anything about restraint. They go crazy. Restraint of the Spirit. I can't remember if it's a psalm or a proverb. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered. Okay, God, I would think also the stops of a righteous man are ordered. Not just the steps. We have to slow down sometimes. We have to use some restraint sometimes. A lot of people want power. Oh, God, give me the power to witness. Oh, God, give me the power to pray. I want to be able to get the demons out of my life. Give me power. Give me power of my circumstances. When I was pastoring, people come, under the circumstances, Pastor. What are you doing under there? We're not under circumstances. We're under grace. The authority of God. People want to have power over disease. It's only through the authority of Jesus Christ that you have authority over disease. And it does happen. Who's the source? Jesus. What's the secret? Subjection. What's the secret? Subjection. The source is Jesus. The secret is bowing down to him. You cannot be over unless you're willing to be under. You cannot know the release of the power of the Holy Spirit until you know the restraint of the Spirit. Listen to this, Psalms 119, verse 54. Thy statutes are songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Psalms 119, 54. Thy statutes are songs. I love that. God unites songbooks with law books. Songs with laws. You see, God's laws were never intended to be burdens. They're supposed to be music to our hearts when we see God's statutes, God's law, his laws, his directives, whatever you want to call them. Every law will turn into music, a song written, if you allow it to, if you don't begrudge it. You see, God's duties always turn to the light. That's why it says there's joy in the morning. Every morning, there's joy in the morning. There's joy in the morning. I don't play the piano. Jonathan plays a little bit. Probably didn't know that. We gave music lessons to all four of our kids. All four of our kids could read music. My wife can read music. I play the radio. You know why? There are laws to playing a piano. Well, there's laws for everybody but Jerry Lee Lewis. He didn't care about the laws of playing a piano, if you know who that is. Jimmy Swaggart's cousin. There's laws. You can take liberty with the law if you understand the law. If the law is music, then it becomes liberty to you. You're free. When the law becomes authority in your lives, God's law always releases the liberty of Christ. And it happens, why? The source and the subjection, when we bow down before him. There are a lot of people who don't have this today. I know a lot of pastors who don't have it. I'm not going to name names. I could. A lot of pastors who do not have authority over their lives or over their ministries. You know the reason why? Because they want to do it their way, not God's way. And it's a problem in a lot of churches. Rebellion always takes away God's power. You can't be under unless you're willing to be over. Husbands, I think that's on a PowerPoint, isn't it? Husbands, fathers, we wonder sometimes, why don't my children obey me? Why don't they listen to me? The Bible teaches that you're to be the head of the family, subject to you. Not slaves to you, but look to you for leadership and authority as you look to Jesus, as he looks to God. Joshua said, as for me and my household, he's speaking as a father, as a man of God, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. You know, you can go back to Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's son-in-laws laughed at him. You know why? He didn't have any spiritual authority. He had nothing to offer them as far as directives for life. He had no authority. You know what happened, too, in that scenario. We have to have authority, husbands, that we get from being under God. All right, wives, mothers, we pray for our children. We want them to be saved. Many times we have rebellion. Sometimes an awful spirit in the home. Mothers can't understand why they don't have authority. Sometimes it's because they have a rebellious spirit themselves. Listen, we're not in charge. As long as we want freedom, many times our freedom limits us. It enslaves us. Well, I won't submit to any old man. I've been liberated. Man, I heard a lot about that over the years. Women's lib. My wife is a women's liber. That's why I didn't bring her today. No, I'm just kidding. She's got bronchitis, so she didn't want to be hacking during all the time I was preaching. No, As long as we think we're liberated, we're really enslaved. In that moment, we cease, mothers, wives, women, we cease receiving the authority when we're not willing to be under the authority. Now, I put youth up there, and I got to think about that. I don't think there's any youth here, is there? This church doesn't have, you don't need a youth pastor. You don't need a senior adult pastor either. I'm the oldest person here. But for the children and the youth, when you're disrespectful to your parents, you lose authority. I don't think you can build a church without a good youth ministry, really. Really, I'm serious. God used me to build 5 churches from Ohio to California, so I was in every kind of setting you could see, and every time God showed up. But I remember my first senior pastor, Jonathan, hadn't been born yet. I had a girl named Carla. She always sat about third row down, Carla, 16 years old. Praying this Sunday, God makes something happen in this service. She had real authority in her life. She was under Jesus. She loved him. And God gave her authority over things. Well, I preached that morning, and we had about 7 or 8 people come to the altar, and I went down to pray with somebody. And this lady came to the altar, and I had counsel with this couple. They were probably about 40, something like that. I had counsel with them. I knew there was situations. Talked to them about their soul. She came to the altar, and I motioned for my worship leader, who was a lay person. He was a superintendent of schools. I said, go down and pray with her. Man, she let out the most guttural scream you've ever heard, just made your skin move. I immediately left my person I was praying with. I had another person, a lay person, went over to pray with her. She was demon-possessed. God cast out the demon that morning. Amen? And I went to my worship leader afterwards. His name was Gene. I said, Gene, I'm sorry about that. He said, don't ever do that to me again. I said, well, I thought she had a hangnail or something. I didn't know she had a demon. You know? I said, Carla, be careful what you pray about. Jokingly. I would take God showing up every week, believe me. Believe me. Young people, children, they lead us, really. They lead us. Does anybody have greater faith than a child? Jesus even said that. Here's the centurion. He sees the source. He sees the subject. And he realizes something's going on here. Complete submission. He said, I completely submit to the authority above me as Jesus, as I can see you do, Jesus. As I say come and go and stay, they listen to me. Source. We have to allow him to reign within us. Be God above all other things or other gods with a small g that we have in our lives. I wish I had time to look at Luke 14. Please read it later. Luke 14, 26 through 33. Talks about a complete submission to power. It talks about bearing your cross. Willing to take that up. No longer I, but Christ. Complete in Christ. It's saying yes to the eternal Jesus. Saying no to yourself forever and ever. Well, I love it in those verses 26 to 33. It talks about no retreat. Don't turn back. No retreat. What you start, finish. That's what he's saying to us today. Jesus only, always, no one else. Nothing else. No one else. No rival, no refusal, no retreat. If not, you will never have spiritual authority. Jesus has to be above all things, because Satan will mark you if he has a chance to say, I can come back here. Put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Full armor of God, no retreat. If you retreat with the armor protects the front. If you retreat with that armor, you're going to get in the backside. There's no place. We're on the go. We're on the offensive. That's why he said, go and make disciples, not truffle along. No, he said, go. There's something about that says move. Let me give you my last one. So we got the sources and the subject. Be subjective to him. Source and secret. The third one, listen to this. The strength. The strength of spiritual authority. I love to see it. I love to submit to Jesus. Verse 8 again. He says, what I say, they do. That's why Peter said, get thee behind me, Satan. What I say, they do. How would you like to have spiritual soldiers at your command? Wow, we are the army of the Lord. Spiritual soldiers to fight your battles, spiritual servants. How would you like to have spiritual authority over demons and disease and disaster? I remember sometime in the late 80s, I preached a series out of Hebrews 11. It's the Hall of Fame, or what we in the church would call the Hall of Faith. And I had 16 sermons. Are you crazy? Now, those days we had Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know, we had real churches in those days. And Wednesday night. But one of my sermons was entitled, and it was about a good time, it was entitled Star Wars. My people are going, what is he doing this Sunday? Because I always promoted my sermons, you know, a month ahead of time. Star Wars. Well, it talks about Deborah, who was a judge, and she's fighting Sisera, Captain Sisera. He's trying to kill her. And it says, here, listen to this, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. You know what happened to Sisera? He ended up with a spike through his head. How would you like to have the stars in their courses fighting for you? Star Wars. That's authority. It only comes from God. It only comes from having a relationship. That's the strength of it. The power invested in the Lord Jesus Christ trickles down, pours down, floods down into you and over you as a child of God. I'm telling you, he can, as we submit, take our lives to brand new higher dimensions than we ever thought possible in our spiritual walk. Woo! Authority. Spiritual authority. We have a lot of churches splitting today. I've seen it at least three times in the last of churches that I've worked with. I mean, wasn't the pastor or anything, but tried to help them or whatever. And God blessed them. And man, what's happening in the pulpit and in the pew of spiritual authority and not allowing Jesus to take over and lead us. Allow the Holy Spirit. We got a lot of fractured homes and blasted lives. Got a lot of lost souls. We got a lot of bad possessions out there, possessed by something other than God. You are called, or you wouldn't be here today, you are called to live a victorious life. Praise God. Praise God. You're to take that authority. You can have authority over all that the enemy throws at you. I don't care what it is. I've seen a lot. I've seen it all. I don't know. Let's start acting like the children of God. Let's be the family of God. Victorious. Why? Because of the strengthening, the empowering of God's Holy Spirit. at work in our lives, victorious. He wants you to, maybe for the first time, if not, once again, discover the authority of God. That is your destiny. That's a great word, isn't it? It's your destiny. You were meant to be victorious. I want you to stand with me and bow your heads if you would. Lord, we did love you so much today. We thank you for your word. We pray that my words, that I believe came from you, would be imprinted on the hearts and souls and lives of those under my voice this morning. That it'll make a difference in their walk with you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We ask for a strengthening and energizing because we're bowing down to the source of all authority, Jesus Christ. And we know that you'll strengthen us in our walk with you day by day. We claim it in your holy and blessed name. Amen.